Hello, and welcome to Friends for Life, a podcast of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Mission. We're here to come alongside you as we journey through life under the cross. What does it look like to care for our neighbors in body and soul? How do we tend to our own body and soul? How can we speak up for life? And finally, how do we share the faith with the next generation? Join us as we have these conversations and learn together. We hope you'll stick around and be our friends for life.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, my name's Sam Freeman. I'm here with Jonathan. And Jonathan, today we're here at the, with me and Grant, we're talking about it. It's almost now an international youth gathering.
Right.
Because we've got a lot of people from a lot of different places. But we're here at the Life Ministry booth having conversations with people about all kinds of life situations and how God speaks into them and how we as a church and as a people can kind of stand up and celebrate life.
Yeah. Awesome.
So we have some questions over here, but I want to know a little bit more about you. So what do you do specifically?
Yeah, I'm a pastor.
How big is your congregation? How big of a congregation you run?
Yeah, we've got probably about 130 members and maybe about 60 to 90 a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then how many youth gatherings have you been to?
This is my first one.
This is your first one?
Yeah.
Okay. Grow up Lutheran?
Yeah, I grew up Lutheran, LCMS. Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. Let's jump into these questions here. So as a pastor, do you experience a lot of these kind of pro-life, pro-choice conversations that are, you know, in and out being from where you're at? Or
yeah, you know, not a ton of like people who are in a moment of decision, like wrestling with that themselves, but yep. Definitely from like a theoretical standpoint where you've got people who are wondering like what to say or what to think about it. And then a few times women who have been later in life who are feeling guilty about having an abortion and wanting forgiveness for that.
Yeah.
And so those are wonderful ministry moments to be able to give forgiveness in those situations.
Yeah, absolutely. Without getting too personal, has there been a time where it's just like, wow, that was super, super heavy, where you're just kind of like, wow, we're both men sitting here, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, we have a good idea of what it's like and what it kind of means to have to go through something like that. But at the same exact time, we have no idea. And God bless those women that have went through that, learned from it, and, you know, have to kind of battle through that. I mean, how did you handle that? I mean, was it just one of those deals where you just said, hey, you know, you're forgiven? How did it kind of go about? How did it happen?
You know, and the last one was actually an older woman who told me about an abortion she had, of course, years and years and years, probably decades prior.
Yep.
And I don't remember what all that she said, but it was very apparent that she had ongoing guilt over that situation.
Yeah.
And to be able to ask her, would you like forgiveness for that?
Yeah.
And then to ask her, like, do you believe that the forgiveness I'm about to speak to you, that my forgiveness is not my forgiveness, it's God's forgiveness? And,
yes.
And that she said, yeah. And then getting to, you know, pronounce that absolution over her. It was an impactful moment for me.
Yes.
Just being able to share in that moment with her and give her that. But it at least apparently from my observation, seemed like it was really heavy in a good way for her too.
I mean, I can't imagine the weight that was just probably relieved
from after her. Years and years of carrying it.
That's I mean, that's incredible. And I mean, God bless the pastors like you that can go out and have those kind of difficult conversations, because there's a reason that we have pastors for conversations like that and for heavy stuff that you guys are, you know, you guys are armored up with the tools in your tool bag, or the, you know, your armor of God, essentially, to be able to go and handle that kind of difficulty, for lack of better words. So one of the questions, one of the many questions we have on here, I'm going to read you one of these. So second article of the creeds.
Yes.
What is it?
It is Jesus. So having to do with Jesus and the fact that he came, he was born as baby, grew up, died, rose again from the dead, and that he gives us justification and forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah.
Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a wonderful Lutheran pastor because he knew that. So based on that second article of the Apostles' Creed, what to you as a pastor, why do you think we value human life based off of the second article.
Yeah. You know, I, something that I talk about with our confirmation students is, well, and adult Bible study too, yeah. but is that it's crazy that Jesus did not come as a giraffe.
Yeah.
Or like a snail.
Yeah.
You know, you know, I mean, I think we can, we often do talk about human life from a first article standpoint, that God created all things and that we have dignity just because he created us as human beings and like we're the crown of his creation kind of thing. But I think that there's like another layer of dignity that comes with the fact that God actually joined us in our humanity.
Yeah.
And he comes to not only join us in that, but to actually redeem it and through being human saves the world.
Yeah.
Right. Redeems all things.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know,
I totally agree. I mean, that seeing him come as a, I mean, not to get too graphic, fertilized
right.
egg and go all the way through the 9 month birthing process and all of that, just in such a humble beginning.
Yeah.
It's just like, how in the world could people think, you know, the gift of life, right. It's just, you know, just the dehumanization of it yeah. all. So it's always encouraging to hear a pastor who leads confirmands and is talking to these very, very easily influenced kids.
Right.
I mean, they're in a very tough time right now, but having someone like yourself, Jonathan, to be able to communicate to them the value of life, that's yeah. just, it's something that makes me happy, makes Life Ministries happy, makes Jesus happy. It's just, it's great,
yeah.
you know, and it's awesome to have, you know, great pastors like yourself in this realm of the world communicating.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. You got anything else you want to say? The floor is yours. I mean, we've got all the time in the world. We could sit here and talk for hours.
Yeah.
I know that you're probably trying to get back to your group, looking around, running around.
Oh, that's all good.
But yeah, man, if you got any questions for me, anything like that, I'd be more than happy to try my best to answer it.
Well, I was just going to share, I mean, you asked me earlier kind of, and it's kind of more like pro-life related mm-hmm. and abortion related, any like heavy moments in ministry.
Yeah.
And it didn't have to do with abortion, but it had to do with a couple this is at my first church years and years ago.
Yeah.
And they were pregnant, and I don't remember how early in the pregnancy it was, but it was early enough that baby did not look like a newborn baby. Yes, it
right.
was. It was baby was probably about, I don't know, maybe a foot long or so.
Okay,
but baby's of course born very prematurely.
Yeah,
it had to be months. And I remember that week. And this is probably one of the more impactful moments of ministry for me.
Yeah,
was I think baby was born very prematurely on a Monday, and the hospital that they had the baby at was about 45 minutes away.
Okay,
and I called a couple. I was like, hey, is this a good time to come? And I'd love to come see you guys and support you guys going through this hard time. And I said, no, it's all right. We'll let you know when.
Yeah.
Tuesday comes by. I keep on checking with them. And no, we'll wait.
Yeah.
Wednesday goes by. No, we'll wait more. And Thursday comes. And I am working on something that afternoon. And someone was like, I just got to get there. I'm not even going to call this time. I just got to go. So I drive 45 minutes. And I find a hospital room. I find mom and dad and baby. And, you know, I get to talk to them. I'm only there for probably 2 or 3 minutes at that point. And at that moment, nurse walks in the door and kind of delivering a message from the doctor that baby was not going to make it.
Oh.
And that baby was suffering and they probably needed to pull the plug.
Okay.
And I was there in that moment with them when they did that. And while mom was holding baby in her arms with dad around her,
yeah,
I got to read from them from the gospel, right?
Wow.
Where Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, but bring them in." And to this day, as a pastor,
I'm getting a little emotional
Those were the hardest words that I've ever had to try to utter in a way that could actually be heard.
Yeah,
you know, those are just so heavy in that moment. And yet so rich with gospel.
Oh yeah.
That you know, Jesus is for children.
Yeah.
Now, and baby had been baptized by a hospital chaplain.
Awesome.
I think as soon as baby was born, and so we got to rejoice in that. But it's one of the hardest things to do is to be there in a moment like that.
Oh yeah.
And especially when you got matters of life and death and kids are involved. You know, it's horrible, but it's also when I'm like most thankful for the gospel.
Yeah.
that we don't have to try to grieve as people who have no hope. Paul says to the Thessalonians, you know, we have that hope, even in the midst of things like that, where Jesus cares about little lives, even, you know, in utero, and we get to rejoice in that resurrection, that we are going to see them again.
Yeah.
You know, so still a very horrible and difficult moment for that couple, but to have that hope, I don't know how you would live without it.
It does always kind of make me feel, just after, you know, you leave a funeral or go talk to somebody and it's like, you know, hey, did they believe all this kind of stuff? And they, you know, maybe they didn't go to church, or maybe they didn't really necessarily believe. And it's just like, wow. I mean, as a bystander, I feel just like, oh, I'm hopeless.
Right.
You know, it just kind of, my sense of hope just kind of gets taken out of me. And I don't really know how you manage that. I don't know how you kind of have those conversations with those family members to where it's like, hey, you know, everything's going to be okay. You know, it's like, I don't know if I can say that. You know, so yeah, man, it's thanks be to God that we have that hope.
Yeah.
And thanks be to God that we have people like you that are out there that are able to communicate that kind of hope to these individuals that are in just tough areas, you know, and just in hard times, essentially.
Right.
But yeah, so man, Jonathan, I appreciate you sharing that little story with me, because that was powerful, man. I was starting to get a little crocodile tears here.
So, well, thank you, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing what you guys do.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. It's our pleasure. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Jonathan, and we appreciate him coming on.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
For joining us, Friends for Life is a podcast that discusses the life God has given and the people He has called you to serve, right where you are, in God's mission.